Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, continuing our series through the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, we transitioned from the middle section to the closing section of the Sermon on the Mount. And here, Jesus is really going to apply it in multiple ways. And one of the clear ways that Jesus is going to apply this is by making a clear distinction. So we're going to be seeing this in the next couple weeks, that there's only two options. You have option A or option B. And God's people will be known by those who choose, who walk, and who believe a specific set of things. And if you do not, then you are outside of Christ. So Christ is making a very clear distinction. We could say it's a distinction between the sheep and the goats. So let's read here from Matthew 7, that's found on page 965. We'll start at verse 12, but our text is verse 13 and 14. So Matthew 7 at verse 12. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And here's our text. "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." As far as reading here in Matthew 7, we pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes making choices is difficult. Perhaps you go to your favorite restaurant and you sit down with that menu and have all these endless choices. You want to have this kind of food or this thing to be your main dish, and then you have the sides that you have to pick from and the different drinks that you get to choose. But when you make a decision in that kind of a setting, I imagine most of us would be happy with whatever is brought. It's really not all that significant and weighty of a matter, because you have a lot of different options, that there's really no bad option to choose. But there are some times when we are called to make a decision where it really has a significant impact on the direction of our lives and our futures, where you have to choose between one of two options. I know some of our college and university students are back, and imagine that you had your final exam for your test, and it was a true-false, one-question exam. True, false. Option A or option B. If you get it right, you get an A, you pass. If you get it wrong, you fail. But this particular exam is unique because it is an open exam. Your entire class gets to discuss together whether or not you believe this particular answer is true or false. Your teacher allows everyone to talk, and it turns out that your entire class is convinced that this answer is false. Everyone agrees that this answer is false except for you. You alone know, are convinced, are certain that this answer is true. How would you respond? How would you go about defending your answer, to give an answer that is not popular, to make a choice that most people would disagree with? Well, today we are going to see Jesus is presenting before us two options, a choice between two paths. You can only go one of two ways, right or to the left. Imagine for a moment, children, that you are on a family vacation a few weeks from now. Your dad's driving down the road and you come to a T intersection. Okay, you know that you have to choose between the right or the left. And you sit in your car and you look to the left and you see a beautiful four-lane highway, no potholes, perfectly clear, and sunshine. Well-worn path. And every car that you see is going that way, is going to the left. Taking the easy path where there's sunshine and no potholes. Paved road. But to the right, you have a narrow dirt path filled with potholes and mud. No one is going that way. And there's rain and thunder and lightning and hail. Which way would you choose? I imagine by nature, most of us would be like, well, I just washed my car. I'm obviously going the path that is paved, the easy path, the sunshine. But if you knew where that path led, I imagine that would change your decision. So it is today, Jesus Christ is presenting before us. We're at the intersection this morning, brothers and sisters. Which way will you go? Which way do you choose? If you know which way the left goes and the end destination, and which way the right goes and its end destination, you must choose carefully. There is no third option. Turn left, take the easy way, or turn right, take the hard, narrow path. Well, this morning we are going to be considering this theme. Jesus Christ challenges us to choose the correct path that leads to life. Jesus Christ is challenging us to choose the correct path that leads to life. And our first point, then, we begin with everyone who is going to the left. As water likes to run downhill, so the easy path is the path of least resistance. And at the entrance of this left easy path, there is a gate. And this gate is wide and it is open. This gate is never closed and no one is barred from entering into it. Everyone goes this way because it is easy and everyone and everything fits. Everyone can gain entrance through it. Every man, woman, child is born with a default direction to choose this path. And every world religion, every teaching of man, every belief system is united in choosing this path. Just as every animal could fit through a wide open gate, so also every person and every belief system goes this way and passes through this gate. Every Muslim, every Buddhist, every atheist, every Christian Science, and even some who call themselves Christians. Even some who bear the name of Christian go through this gate. For the gate is wide and it leads to an easy path. This road is like a highway. It's paved, well-traveled. Satan has made sure to remove any potholes. It's like falling down. It's easy. It's the life of coasting. It's the life of gliding. It's the life of a breeze. Choose the path that's on the left, and you will have many friends, everyone will like you, and the devil won't bother you. You can be as selfish as you want to be. You can seek the approval of men. You can trust in your own strength. Like pigs drawn to the mud, all men are drawn to this path because it's easy. It's the natural default position, and there's nothing standing in your way. So it's a wide gate that leads to an easy, wide path. But how many people go this way? Well, Jesus makes this clear in verse 13. The wide gate and the easy path have many that choose it. If you were to count the number of humanity born and separate them into two groups, those who take the path on the left, the easy wide way, and those who go to the way on the right, the vast majority of people, Jesus says, will go to the left. The vast majority of people will choose the wide gate and the easy way. Easy street is the popular opinion. Why? Because it's easy. And it leads to an easy life. Most people take this path. It's the path that is popular, peer pressure, following the crowd, the path of least resistance, making it the way that most people will choose. Jesus himself experienced this firsthand. This is John chapter 6. After Jesus has just taught them about needing to feed on Jesus Christ, him being the bread of life, the majority of those who were his disciples, who were following him, not the 12, but the majority of the group of people that were following him, forsook him, left him, because his teaching was difficult. It's hard. Or think of the flood. The untold mass of people that chose the easy way. Noah, being the preacher of righteousness, proclaimed a coming destruction and the need to repent and flee the coming wrath. And yet, when the door was shut, there were only 8 people inside the ark out of the entire human race. 8 people repented and believed. Everyone else chose the easy way. Out of the entire world, every tribe, every group of people, only Abraham was a man of faith. So Jesus Christ here makes it clear that when you choose the easy path, you will put yourself in the majority. But when you know that it is the easy street, do you know where the easy street leads? Knowing the destination of the path that is the path of least resistance may give you pause. Going back to our text, Jesus says, "The gate is wide, the way is easy, and it leads to destruction." The wide gate and the easy path leads to destruction. This wide, easy path, although it is easy, is on a constant decline. It is constantly going down. And it goes down and it goes down until the easy path empties out in hell itself. It's easy. And there are so many people that are rushing to their destruction, not knowing that the cost will be great. Because the easy, wide path leads to damnation, destruction, eternal punishment of body and soul, separation from all of God's goodness. You see, brothers and sisters, that is the tragedy of this all. Jesus says there are so many people that are choosing the easy path because they want the easy life, yet they do not know that it will cost them their very soul. Like the rich man who built barns after having an expansive harvest, saying to himself, "Now I can kick back and take it easy. I have food set up for myself. It is good." Not knowing that very night, his soul would be called into account. The sad fact is there are so many people in our world today that are rejecting the cornerstone, as we read in Acts chapter 4. Stubborn, rebellious men who refuse to respond with faith and repentance, choosing to live for today, going along with the crowd. But everyone who is on the easy road will reach the same destruction. And once they pass through the gates of hell, there will be no return. There will be no relief. As the parable of the rich man and Lazarus makes clear, there is no source of relief for those in hell. Not even a drop of water will be given to them to cool their tongues. I think one of the applications when you read this particular teaching of Jesus Christ is to cry out, "Lord, have mercy on the masses." There are so many people in our world today that are on the easy path, have passed through the wide gate, and they are on their way to hell, and they don't know it, or they just don't care. Our hearts should be moved, brothers and sisters. There are so many people who are on the way to hell, and they've never thought about it. But praise God, there's another road. There's another path. Going back to our illustration, if you're sitting at this T intersection in your car, you've seen the vast majority of people turn left and take the easy road, and you look to the right and you see this narrow path that is difficult. Now, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress fleshes this out for us. A Christian comes to the narrow gate, And beyond the narrow gate, his life is incredibly difficult. But at particular points, as he walks this path, this narrow path, he catches a vision of the celestial city. And it is that vision of the celestial city that stirs him on, because he knows where he's going. He knows the destination. So then Jesus, in our text, tells us that we are to enter the narrow way by way of the narrow gate. Now, the narrow gate is by definition narrow and will keep people out. There's only one way in. True faith is by its definition narrow and exclusive, for not all have faith. Or to put it in the context of the election sermon from last week, only those who are elect sheep will find this gate and enter through it. And they will only be able to fit through in a particular way. If you are moving animals, I remember this from when I was growing up on the farm, if you have to try to sort out one particular animal, using wide gates doesn't work. You have to have narrow gates to make a division, a distinction. So it is that this narrow gate makes a division between the sheep and the goats. Being a narrow gate means that there is no room for those who want to do their own thing or to go their own way. There's no room for the baggage of self-reliance or the luggage of pride. If you're trying to carry your own works righteousness on your shoulders, you won't fit through the narrow gate. You have to leave everything behind, everything behind. Forsaking even father and mother, forsaking the world to follow him. Now, this path that is beyond the gate is narrow, rocky, and difficult. There are cliffs and valleys. 1 Peter 1 puts it like this: though now for a little while you have to suffer grief in all kinds of trouble. I think sometimes we are surprised, brothers and sisters, when we face trials and tribulations. We've passed through the narrow gate, and we get to the narrow road, and we're shocked when tribulation comes upon us. I thought the Christian life was supposed to make me healthy, wealthy, and wise. I thought I'm supposed to have my best life now. This is hard. Yes, Jesus said, it's going to be hard. The narrow path is difficult. People will persecute you, forsake you. They will put titles on you. They will mock you. You will have enemies. The devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh will never stop attacking you. Obedience to God is akin to putting to death the old man. It's the church militant that we are signing up for. Battles are hard. Sometimes the hardest choice we have to make is hard because it's the narrow road. It's the difficult path. Jesus says this is what you should expect. This is what you are signing up for. If you want the easy road, if you want to have a life where you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and live for yourself, brothers and sisters, you are on the wrong road. That's not what you're going to get. You are going to have hardships, you're going to have trials, you're going to have persecution, you're going to have tribulation. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus have this in his life? If they persecuted our master, won't they persecute his disciples, those who are following him? But brothers and sisters, Jesus says, keep the end in view. Where does the narrow path lead, brothers and sisters? The narrow path leads to life. It's kind of like when you're traveling in Colorado. You can see some visions of the grandeur when you're sitting in your car, but to get to the really splendid scenery, you have to take a difficult path. You need to climb over the boulders, bridges, narrow path to find the panoramic vista So it is for the Christian life. It is one that is strenuous. But when you arrive, oh, how sweet the view. Now, Jesus says, if a lot of people, most people, or many, are taking the easy path on the left, how many find it? Verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Those who find it are few. The elect are a remnant. Not many pass through this narrow gate. There are not only a multitude of other world religions that are not true, there are also many in the external church that show up to church and yet are walking on the wrong path. There are hypocrites in the church as well. Jesus will expand upon this in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. It's only those who are passing through the gate and walking the narrow way. For not all have faith. I want to read a passage. If you want to read with me, this is from John chapter 10. Kind of flesh this out. What is this gate and how do we enter through it? John chapter 10. John 10 verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Here Jesus changes the illustration. The door is the way into the sheepfold, into the sheep pen, where there is safety and protection. In our particular passage, Jesus is the gate that leads to the narrow way. Jesus calls himself the one through whom we must enter. Jesus is the gate that provides access to the narrow road. So if Jesus is the gate or the door by which we must enter, how do we enter? By believing in Jesus Christ, by faith. Jesus will say, Matthew 7, verse 7, seek until you find, knock until the door is opened. By faith, by trusting in Christ. That is the way that we can enter. I also want to read one more passage. This is in Hebrews 13, if you want to turn with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Hebrews 13, verse 12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. If you want to enter through the gate and walk the narrow path, you need to be willing to suffer the reproach of Christ as he himself suffered. Seeking after Jesus and entering the gate means that you will suffer reproach as Jesus himself suffered. Knowing that here below we have no lasting city. Here below our possessions are temporary. When you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you are looking at your possessions as those which are treasures given to you, you are a steward, and all these things will not last. But if you are putting your treasures in the world above, if you're recognizing that your home or your city, your residence here below is not lasting, that you have a city above that you're looking forward to, that will change how you live. Because this way is hard. This path is hard, but it leads to life. The destination that Jesus here promises is residence in the eternal city above, the heavenly Jerusalem, with gates of pearl and streets of gold. This path that Jesus is here presenting leads to the celestial city, that mountain of rest where God dwells at peace with his people. And to be clear, Jesus and Jesus alone grants access. We read this earlier in Acts 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name given to heaven by which we can be saved. There is a singular Savior. There is one narrow gate. And outside of him, there is no salvation. So Jesus says in verse 13, enter by this gate. Now keep this in context. We talked about election last week. We talked about the fact that only those whom God chose before the foundation of the world will be saved. We are elect people gathered from all the nations. But here Jesus says in verse 13, enter. Enter by the way. Enter by this gate. Jesus Christ is making it clear that this is a commandment that we are to obey. No one else can carry you through this gate. Children, the faith of your parents will not save you. You cannot ride into heaven on the coattails of mom and dad. Enter the gate. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It is a personal commandment to every one of us. You must do this. No one can do it for you. You must enter the path that leads to eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ. But keep that end in view, that glorious destination. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. To conclude, brothers and sisters, you are sitting at that T intersection this morning. Which way will you go? If you pick the easy path, I'm warning you, you need to know where that path goes. If you choose the right path through Christ, the narrow way, have a proper expectation. Your life will be hard. But keep the end destination in view. Moses put it like this. This is Deuteronomy chapter 30. Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life. Joshua did the same thing. Joshua 24. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose which way, choose which gate. I set before you today life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Our theme puts it like this. Jesus Christ challenges us to choose the correct path that leads to life. So choose life, brothers and sisters. Enter the narrow gate of Jesus Christ by faith, and live. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful, stirring, sobering truth that there is only two paths that we can walk, one that leads to death and the other that leads to life. Oh Lord, by your Spirit, enable us to choose life. Enable us to enter that narrow gate by faith, trusting in Christ and walking in his way, looking forward to that blessed destination of that city above, that inheritance kept in heaven for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.